proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study. Today we begin a series on the story of Biblical Israel. In the desert wastes of Southwest Asia, some 3,500 years ago, a man kept guard over his father-in-law's sheep. Suddenly, something unusual grabbed his attention. A nearby bush seemed to burn with intense fire, yet without being consumed. That man, named Moses, that man left his flock to examine this phenomenon more closely. When he did so, according to the third chapter of Exodus, a voice boomed out, quote, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground," unquote. As Moses hastened to obey, the voice continued saying, quote, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob," unquote. With those words, the sovereign God of the universe once again deigned to interfere in human history. He promised that he would take a nation of slaves known as the children of Israel, that he would deliver them from bondage to their Egyptian overlords. Moreover, God promised to bring them into a fruitful land, which he would give to them for a possession. Several possible definitions of the term Israel do exist. The word can often refer to the Jewish people as an ethnic or religious entity. For instance, God commanded Moses in the third chapter of Exodus to, quote, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together," unquote. God thereby implicitly acknowledged that the Israelites were indeed a sovereign nation. The term Israel can also allude to the geographical territory historically inhabited by the Jewish people since the second millennium B.C. God declared in Ezekiel chapter 37, quote, "Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel," unquote. The people that God was speaking to at that time, many of them were in exile in the Babylonian territory. Since 1948, the term Israel can also refer to the current Jewish state known by that name. In that respect, think of the nation of Israel in the same way as you would think of, say, the United States of America. That is, a political entity possessing its own governmental institutions, laws, etc. According to the seventh chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses informed his Jewish compatriots that, quote, "Because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you up with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondsmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt," unquote. Israel's claim to God's favor did not rest upon their numerous numbers. Israel's claims to God's favor did not rest upon their military prowess. Israel's claims to God's favor did not rest upon their spiritual devotion to him. According to God, Israel's claim to God's favor rested upon two pillars. First was God's sovereign choice to place his love upon them. God chose to love the Jewish nation, Israel, out of his own sovereign will. But also, God mentioned that he made certain agreements or covenants, agreements with the forefathers of the Jewish people. In our next session, we'll consider the nature of those agreements and what God promised to the Jewish people through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible program.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.